Welcome in, not the Damon Victory Podcast. We're at Madison Square Garden, the first of these short little podcasts we'll be doing while we're here. Dan, we made it in last night, got to catch a little bit of basketball action. What was your first reaction when you walked into Madison Square Garden last night?
Well, walking through the tunnel down to the area where we were, right next to the DePaul band, I kept thinking about Willis Reed walking through the tunnel, and I was trying to invent an injury for myself or something like that. But this place is just palatial is a good word. It's you feel the history walking into this arena. And for a lifelong basketball fan like me, and as you are, Rick, this is like Mecca to a certain extent.
It is. And the renovations, we've heard about the renovations. People were saying it looks great, and it really does. We got to walk around a little bit today as we made our way up to the top. And, everything. The place just gleams. Like you mentioned, we were walking through the tunnels.
This is as big time as it gets. And you understand why the Big East wants to keep the tournament here and wants to be here in the long term. You know, just being around New York last, 24 hours or so, it looks like there's a pretty good contingent, especially from Omaha. But a lot of the schools have brought a lot of people into town. Of course, St. John's has a built-in fan base here, so it should be a great day of basketball. We're recording this early in the Villanova Seton Hall game, the noon game of the four-game slate today in the quarterfinals. And Rick, I think a good place to start. I think the best place to start is to break down a little bit Xavier's game against Marquette, which will tip off somewhere between 9:30 and 10 tonight. What do you see as the biggest matchup for this game for Xavier?
Well, everybody's obviously talking about how does Xavier stop Devontae without Matt Stainbrook in the lineup, and I don't see that as being the biggest issue for the Xavier team. When you look at the past two games, Jalen Reynolds, in exactly 36 less minutes than Devontae Gardner, has out-rebounded him in those two games. He's defended well. It's a good matchup for Jalen Reynolds. The key is keeping Jalen Reynolds on the court.
Right. And I think that's one of the things about Devontae Gardner that makes him such a great player is that he is one of the elite players in the country. Ken Pomeroy has one of his statistics is fouls drawn per 40 minutes, and Gardner consistently ranks among the national leaders in that category. Now, a lot of that may be because he is a bit of a flopper, but for a 350-pound dude, he ought not to flop as much as he does. But Gardner does have that facility to draw fouls to get to the line, and he finishes his opportunities when he gets to the strike.
Yeah, so obviously that's one of the big concerns. The other thing that I think the matchup that's big that you're not going to hear a lot about, these guys aren't going to show up in the box score, is D. Davis versus Derrick Wilson.
Right.
Both of these guys, they don't score a lot, but when you look at when these two teams are playing their best basketball, how many times this year have we said things just seem to run easier when D's playing well? Offense just moves better, the defense is better. It's the same way with Derrick Wilson and Marquette.
Right. Well, D. Davis is the floor general for Xavier, and at the end of the day, he is the Xavier's performance is to a large extent defined by how good D. Davis plays. And the thing with D. Davis is he doesn't really ever have just an average game. He's either really good or poor. And I think that we've seen the last two games, at least, the season.
Really
game. Again, he really struggled. The game before that against Creighton, he was fantastic. We've seen him on a number of occasions when Xavier has gotten their big wins here against St. John's. He's played really well. So, it's weird to say because D. Davis is maybe the best player on this team, but he's the most important player in determining how Xavier is going to play on a night-to-night basis. So they need an assured performance from him. They need him to be active defensively. They need him to make good decisions with the basketball. And if they get those things from D. Davis, then I think they've got a great chance to be working at it.
We might be burying the lead a little bit here because we haven't talked about Jake Thomas yet. Jake Thomas, who obviously tore Xavier, 6 of 10 from 3 in the last game. It's obviously a big concern, but if you're Xavier, you can only worry about him to a certain extent because he does nothing other than staying outside and jack threes.
Thomas has hit 5 threes in a game 4 times this season. 2 of them are against Xavier. I mean, at the end of the day, as Snow said on the message board, if a guy goes Steve Kerr against you, there's not a whole lot you can do. But I do think Xavier's got to do a better job. They can't pinch in as much when the ball goes to the high post or to the elbow. They can't pinch in. They can't cheat as much as they did in the game in Milwaukee because they just got absolutely ruined every time they did it. And Jake Thomas, I mean, he's not... The thing about Jake Thomas that's so frustrating is we're not talking about Brad Redford. We're not talking about even Orion Arcibiakono that we're seeing tonight. mean, he's not really an elite shooter, but for whatever reason, he just has the Musketeers number. But yeah, he's, I mean, it's going to be huge. This team, all year long, defending the three and shooting the three are major issues for this team. And if they do them well, they win. And if they don't, they struggle.
Well, and it's the same way for Marquette. Marquette's actually worse at scoring off of threes and defending the three than Xavier's been. So they're almost a mirror image of each other in a lot of cases, which is why this game, I think you saw them split and play almost exact opposite games in the first two matchups. That's why I think this game is a pick-em tonight when you look at the line, and why I think it'll be another good matchup. Another matchup, I think, man-to-man to look at that's going to be key for these teams is Justin Martin and Jameel Wilson. And the reason is Justin Martin's been really good in the two Marquette games so far. They haven't had a great answer for him. He's gotten the better of Jameel Wilson. I expect that to continue. But if it doesn't, you got to be a little bit concerned because Jameel Wilson is a guy who can take Marquette to that next level. He's the guy with enough talent to create his own shot, to make offense. He's the guy that can really change things for him.
Well, I think Todd Mayo is another guy that's huge for Marquette,
and he's been playing really well.
Yeah, he played an unbelievable game against St. John's and kind of a do or die game for Marquette the last weekend of the regular season. The thing about Marquette is they, as we've talked about all year, they were a little bit overrated in preseason because there are still questions about where their points are going to come from. But oddly, against Xavier, they really haven't had any problem scoring. And they got 79 the first game, 85 the second game. There are some ominous signs about this game for Xavier, but I think if the Musketeers come out focused, they've been here before, they've won on this court, they shouldn't be overwhelmed by the occasion, and I mean, I think at the end of the day, they have more talent than Marquette, and they ought to win this game.
I do too. When you look at, aside from the individual matchups, I think the biggest thing I'm looking at is taking care of the basketball for Xavier. Like,
yeah.
They had 19 turnovers in that last game. It led to 27 points for Marquette. You can't overcome that. Giving away 27 points.
And they were bad turnovers, too. I mean, there's a difference between, as we've talked about, there's a difference between walking with the basketball and having the team, you know, walk the ball up and be in their half-court offense and pull on a stupid pass and leave the blank out at the other end. And against Marquette in Milwaukee, the Musketeers in the first half committed four or five turnovers where it just seemed like the point guard came up before and just handed it to the nearest defender for a breakout. They can't have that. It can't happen tonight. And so that's going to be a key thing for Xavier, avoiding turnovers, getting out on Jake Thomas, and then keeping Devontae Gardner off the block to the extent that you can. But I mean, it's a big game for the team. It's obviously huge. We talked before we came on the air about the idea of how important this game is. And yeah, I mean, I do buy into the idea that for a program like Xavier to miss the tournament 2 years in a row, which they would be at risk of if they lost to Marquette tonight, that would not be a good sign. I don't think it really derails what Chris Mack's got going on here. But I think it's important for this team to get to the NCAA tournament. And to give themselves a chance, you know?
I completely agree that if this team misses the tournament again, in all honesty, whether it's fair or not, Chris Mack is coaching for his job next year. I mean, Xavier they don't miss the tournament 3 years in a row. I don't think there's any way around that. Now, that being said, I don't think this game keeps them out of the tournament, whether they win or lose. You look at where Xavier is at right now, one of our favorites, like Bracket Matrix, they're still in as an 11 seed easily.
Yeah.
They lose this, I think maybe you worry about them dropping down to the play-in game. I just don't see them missing the tournament, though. Regardless, when you look at the resumes, Xavier has better wins than almost any team that's in the bubble.
Well, I think another thing that helps out the Musketeers is that some things have gone their way elsewhere, Rick. For example, there aren't really any mid-major bid stealers out there at this point. I mean, Wichita State, Madison Valley, big shot. Big shot in the game. No, but Wichita State took care of business. Gonzaga won the West Coast Conference Tournament. There aren't really any of those teams, like a Belmont or an Iona or one of those teams, that's going to jump up and steal a bid, getting that large bid. maybe Wisconsin, Green Bay, possibly. But there aren't really any of those teams. The other thing that I think is interesting is that in some of the major conference tournaments, you have quarterfinal matchups that are effectively play-ins between two teams that are on the bubble. We're going to see one a little bit later on this court between Providence and St. John's. You're going to see one across the Brooklyn Bridge at the Barclays Center tomorrow, between which likely will be Dayton and St. Joseph's. I believe there's a couple in the SEC that are going to eliminate teams. You know, even Nebraska may face a quarterfinal against Ohio State, which could be a make-or-break game for them, although I think Nebraska's probably in. So it's kind of set up well for Xavier. It's a soft bubble this year. It feels like we say that every year, but this year specifically, there's just a lot more places for mid-level teams from power conferences, and that, you know, that's one of the reasons why you move to the Big East Conference, is that it gives you a little bit of a cushion in a season like this, where Xavier has suffered some losses that they maybe shouldn't have suffered. Although Seton Hall is looking pretty good value for those two losses right now, beating Villanova by 13 points early.
Yeah, by the way, 9 minutes left to go in the first half. We're sitting here. Seton Hall, after Patrick Otto's dunk that you probably just heard that interrupted our podcast, Seton Hall is leading 26-13. So this is going to be an interesting question.
Well, we saw two pretty good games here last night. We got in for the Georgetown-DePaul game, which is a... you know, talk about a team on the bubble that really laid an egg. I mean, Georgetown, they had to win that game. There was just no two ways about it, and they're going to the NIT at this point, and they deserve it, frankly, because they had 2 8- or 9-minute stretches during that game where they just could not score the basketball.
Yeah.
And I just don't think a team with that kind of top-line talent, and Markel Starks and Jason McNamara, that's not good to miss a tournament with that kind of talent. When you have a team good enough to beat Michigan State, and you flop out the way that they have, not a good season.
Well, and it's not like DePaul was playing with their hair on fire last night exactly. I mean, we talked about at the end of the half when Georgetown went on their first prolonged period without scoring, it felt like, you know, DePaul had gone on this big run, and in reality, they scored like 9 points in a period of 8 minutes or something. So it was a 9-0 run over 8 minutes. I agree. This Georgetown team just, for whatever reason, never clicked this year. They just didn't have enough offensive option. When you look at the rest of the tournament, to me, Providence St. John's is the game to see of this tournament right now. I cannot wait to watch this game.
It's going
to
be fantastic. Folks at home probably will be listening to this after the game, so we won't break it down too much, but I really think I think it's important for the NCAA tournament. And I really like Providence's chances with Bryce Cotton, even though it is a road game. That Providence team, they seem to be gelling a little bit. I've watched them play a couple times down the stretch. And they just have that knack. Their senior night game against Marquette was fantastic. Bryce Cotton making all the plays. Josh Fortune starting to step up his game. And I think you and I talked about last night, Providence to me is a dark horse to win this tournament, period.
And more than anything, just because Bryce Cotton, in his last games in Providence uniform here at Madison Square Garden, something about that feels special to me, and he feels like the type of guy that could go off for a huge tournament, a Kemba Walker-type performance in the Garden, and lead Providence into the NCAA tournament with that. And I look at them as a team that can be dangerous in the NCAA tournament, so I'm really excited to see what Providence does here.
I think when we come back to Xavier, we talk about their at-large chances. I do think it's crucial. I want to ask you about what you thought of Chris Mack's comments after the Villanova game. They've been likened to some of Mick Cronin's comments about the Atlantic 10 in the past. He said Georgetown would be a top three team in the A-10 and maybe win the A-10. He was very strident in sort of his defense of the Big East Conference, and What was your take on that? I know you were in the room.
Yeah.
You saw him talk about that. What was your take as
well? Well, my big thing, I get, like, some people don't like it just because they don't like the way it comes off and is whining or sounding like your friend. And if that's your take, I completely get that. I'm not going to argue against that. The other thing I would say is, as to what he actually said, I couldn't agree more. There's no way you lose Xavier and Butler from the Atlantic 10, and it sometimes becomes a tougher conference. You look at that conference last year, and just the physicality, the talent on the court in every single Big East game this year, it was better than what we saw when Xavier played St. Joe's and Charlotte. Name them. Anyone else in the Atlantic 10, really, other than VCU and St. Louis this year. And St. Louis and VCU were definitely top-tier teams. But other than that, any of those other teams would have been in the mix or below those mid-level Big East teams, in my opinion. I don't think it's an argument.
I agree with you. I do think I have a little bit of time for the people that say this was a stupid rattle for Chris Mack to find it. Because, I mean, Xavier was part of the Atlantic Tech for 16 years. It was a good conference for Xavier. It enabled them, to a large extent, to have the success that they did. And so I sort of get why people were a little bit dubious about why he made those comments. And I don't, personally, I'm not sure that Georgetown would have been a top-tier Atlantic 10 team, given the way that their season has gone. But
think about
I
what Xavier did last year
right.
with the lack of talent, and they were still able to beat one of the best teams in the conference. Georgetown was better than Xavier last year. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
This Georgetown team this year was better than Xavier last year. They run through that conference. When you have breaks in your schedule, it's such a difference. And that's what I don't think people realize about the Atlantic 10.
And I think that that's a thing, you know, you take it back to UC, I think that's a thing that's really helped them in the American Conference this year. I mean, they've done quite well against the elite teams in that league, you know, sweeping Memphis, getting a reverse home and home with Louisville. But yeah, I mean, having a
you
USF,
play a big game every 2 weeks.
Like that, yeah. It does make a difference, and that I think is something that Xavier has had some growing pains with this year.
And it's not even growing pains. That's just how big time conferences work. There's no other team. I mean, unless you're the elite of your conference and you win it, you're gonna go 500 in a good conference.
Yeah.
Or somewhere around.
But I do think there's a kernel of that. At the end of the day, there is a kernel of wisdom to what Chris Mack said, and I get, you know. You don't have to tell me. I understand the selection committee. They don't go in there and they say, yeah, we need four Big East teams or five Big East teams or whatever. However, given the strength of this league, third in the KenPom rankings, fourth in the RPI, I find it very difficult to believe that they're only going to get two teams in. And that's why Xavier positioned themselves with the third best resume out of all the teams in the Big East. I think has a very solid chance of getting in that large bid, even with the loss to Montana. Although, as Snow says, you would not be well advised to lose this game tonight. I still think they have a great chance to make the NCAA tournament.
I completely agree. I think that's a good spot to end it. If you look at this game, I think Xavier is still in with a loss. Obviously, you win. I think it removes all doubt. You know you're in, and at that point, you're playing for maybe another seed line. Because they are on that 10, 11, 12 kind of bubble moving around. There's teams moving around in there. If they make a run through this Big East tournament, they could end up as 10.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think the Xavier team, you know, they're a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde team. I mean, when they show up, when they play with intensity, when they defend effectively, they're very difficult to beat. And I mean, that's why they've got the wins they have. That's why they blew out of Cincinnati. That's why they beat Tennessee. That's why they have those quality wins in their bag. That's why they beat Creighton 2 weeks ago. So, you know, I'm looking tonight for a focused performance. I think they've got to get off to a good start. They cannot get this team all year long, with the exception of one or two games, the Georgetown game at home, the Evansville game. If they get down 8 or 9 points, they're gone. Because they can't back up stops, 4 or 5 stops in a row.
Right, this isn't at Centennial Center. They're not going to make a Georgetown second half run.
So they cannot get off to a bad start against Marquette. They've got to stay in the game, the first war, the second war. You know, at the 10-minute mark in the first half, they need to be within 5 or 6 points. That's the springboard that will carry them to winning this game. But if they come out and they're in a situation like Villanova's in right now, down 13, 14 points, I mean, I don't think Xavier can dig themselves out of that hole.
I don't either, and especially not against this Marquette team who's also playing for their tournament lives. Well, I think that does it for this first Madison Square Garden podcast on MusketeerReport.com. For Dan, I'm Rick. Thanks for listening, everyone.